Welcome to Gnostic Media Research and Publishing's podcast number 46. I'm your host, Jan Irvin. We've made it into October, and we're fast approaching the one-year anniversary of this show, which was released on October 23rd, 2008. An update on Jack Hare, who had a heart attack 4 weeks ago at the Portland Hempstock Festival. Jack is still hanging in there and is now responding to commands, which is a very good sign. And my love goes out to Jack and his family, and I hope he continues to get better. And I've known Jack for about half my life, and he's one tough old dude, and he may just surprise us all and pull out of this yet, as he's done so many times in the past. How deep does the rabbit hole go? And how many rabbit holes are there? Today we continue our interview with Eustace Mullins for part two of this quite mind-blowing expose on the Federal Reserve and conspiracy. You're going to hear some things that few other hosts will play, and why would things so important to understanding how our government and global banking works not be played on corporate media? You're not going to hear this on Alex Jones. And you likely won't hear it on most corporate radio stations. You might hear a couple DJs here and there pick up on it. But why would it be that you wouldn't hear this stuff out there, on the other shows out there? Could it be because half of their commercials they play are selling gold? And you certainly won't hear this from Ron Paul. You're getting information here that few others will provide, and mainly for the simple fact of corporate underwriters and advertisers. So guess what, folks? We have no corporate underwriters. We have no commercials. This show is supported by people like you who want to know. And if you've been listening to my interviews over the last several weeks, you should be catching on to how to determine who is working for which team, so to speak, or who you can trust as far as politics and the media and government and things like that, and who you can't. And by understanding this information, it draws a very clear line on who's working for whom and how to really understand and get behind all of that. And in honor of free speech and critical thinking, I present you with part two of one of the most powerful interviews I've done to date, if not the most powerful, with one of the most controversial people in the entire world, Eustace Mullins, the last living protege of Ezra Pound. Eustace joins me for the end of our explosive two-part on the history of the Federal Reserve, World War I, World War II, the Rothschilds, J.P. Morgan, the New World Order, banking, Zionism, R. Gordon Wasson, G. Edward Griffin's The Creature from Jekyll Island, Ron Paul, and the state of world affairs. And he joins me with his only protege, Jesse Lee, who will help guide the discussion through the many rabbit holes of history, uncovering some of the most startling information that many of you have ever heard, and certainly that includes myself. And I'll leave it to history and to your own investigative and curious minds to discover if all or what portion of what he's saying is true. But certainly the majority of what he's saying does check out. So you got to look into this stuff, folks. As I mentioned last week, the 40th anniversary edition of John Marco Allegro's famous book, The Sacred Mushroom and the Cross, is now available for pre-ordering on the Gnostic Media website. And at this point, we expect shipping to begin in late November, but the date may change. It could come much earlier, or it could come a couple weeks later. order your copy now, and you'll be one of the first to get your hands on one of the most controversial books written in the 20th century. It's available in both softcover and hardback editions at GnosticMedia.com. This show is listener-sponsored, so if you enjoy this show and talk about it and share it with your friends and family, please donate. It is your support we need. If you want to continue hearing this type of information, we're going to need some of your support out there. And as I've already said in the past few shows, financially we're overstretched. And this year getting book projects done and getting other projects accomplished, including running this show, has gotten us pretty behind on some bills, including the effects of the economy as of late. So we're asking for your support to keep the show and Gnostic Media going. We've been under, like I said, serious financial pressure, and so what I'm doing is offering 25% off of most items on the Gnostic Media website, on the store page, and that includes the books, DVDs, the She Who Remembers audio archives, and all that good stuff. So everything except Allegro's book, and like I said, we're doing that to help get caught up on some bills. Order your holiday or birthday gifts now, and of course, you get 25% off. Get a copy of our first book, Astrotheology and Shamanism, in color or black and white. If you want a copy of the companion DVD to blow your family members away over the holidays, that is also available. And the first edition, first printing of my book, The Holy Mushroom, that proves with primary sources that mushrooms were used in Judeo-Christianity. Again, 25% off. Now's your chance. In Astrotheology and Shamanism, Andrew and I go deep into the origins of Christianity and many other religions and show basically how religions at their core are nearly identical, and we show how they're based on sun worship and moon and star worship, drug and fertility worship, and we reveal the origins behind many of the holiday and religious celebrations. We show how nearly every religion is intimately connected, not only via drug use, but fertility rites as well. And the book has about 200 images, over 500 footnotes, includes primary citations and a large bibliography, and it's pretty well backed up, in my opinion, and written for a good balance between the normal reader and the more academic heavy reader. The color, numbered, and signed edition is now sold out, so if you were wanting to get one of those, it's too late. But you can still get one that's autographed, they're just not numbered, and those are also available now on Amazon.com with free shipping. Please be aware that there is a delivery delay for up to 3 weeks for this order from the Gnostic Media website. And I've still got about 85 copies of the black and white edition that we must sell. I did sell several this week, and thank you so much to everyone who did pick up one of those. And as I said before, we've got to get rid of the rest of these to make it through and get the monster off our backs. And my Holy Mushroom book, which I just mentioned, I analyze all of the attacks against John Allegro's work and show exactly what are the strengths and weaknesses in these attacks. And by tracking down the original citations and information in each claim, I show that they were largely false, and actually that Allegro's citations as well were largely substantiated. I also present over 37 color and 7 black and white images revealing the mushroom in Christian art, and also provided are several ancient primary texts to triangulate in and solidify the argument. And I've got about 43 copies remaining of the first edition, first printing of the book. If you order this one from Amazon, you will get the second printing of that. And I've got to get rid of the rest of these, and also sold a few of those over the last week. So thanks to everyone for that as well. But still have more to get rid of. So I appreciate everyone's support. And once again, the She Who Remembers audio archives are a project that I worked on for about 2.5 years to produce and release these underground news archives to the internet and on CD and DVDs. And there is over 500 hours worth of audio in the archives, some amazing material in there. 25% off. In them, you'll find Terrence McKenna, Chris Conrad, Manly Hall, Mae Brussel, Dave Emery, Michael Prenti, Colonel Fletcher Prouty, Walter Boward, who's talking about mind control, and Hugh Downs, Jella Biafra, Christian Ratch, who's a famous ethnobotanist, Rick Doblin, who's been on the show before that runs MAPS, Jonathan Ott, another ethnobotanist, and Daniel Ellsberg, who is famous from releasing the Pentagon Papers, as well as Jordan Maxwell, Robert Anton Wilson, Carlos Castaneda, who is a bit of a character in history and left less than a untarnished history behind. And Fred Allen Wolfe, who is a well-known physicist, Rick Strassman, the author of DMT, The Spirit Molecule, and many others. And they're worth every penny in the education you gain. So get your copy now and get a bargain on those. And if you'd like to donate directly to Gnostic Media, please go to the GnosticMedia.com website and click on the button at the top left of the website. And speaking of donations, thanks to Nick, Simon, Bill, Kayla, Marco, William, Arthur, and Dr. Craig for your donations, large and small. Some of you have donated once or several times in the past, and I thank all of you. This episode is dedicated to you for helping keep the show on a bit longer, and I really appreciate everyone so much for your support, and my love and gratitude really goes out to each and every one of you. And speaking of Kayla, she will donate a portion of her sales to the show for whomever buys some of her beautiful handmade Amanita muscaria mushroom Christmas tree ornaments, available now through the Gnostic Media website. Scroll to the bottom of the store page and click on the big mushroom ornament at the very bottom. And this time of year, people always ask me where they can buy mushroom ornaments, so look no further. She sent me a couple of these for Christmas gifts last year, and I must say they are beautiful and certainly conversation pieces, and are certainly nicer than other mushroom ornaments that I had already had. And what better way to strike up a conversation with friends and family around the big family gathering about some of the topics discussed here than placing an innocent-looking Amanita muscaria mushroom ornament on your tree. So thank you, Kayla, so much for that, and that's a very beautiful act, and I'm very grateful for you doing that. And of course, my love and thanks to everyone who purchased a book or DVD or set of the archives over the last couple of weeks. Can't thank you all enough for your help and support on that. Again, we still urgently need your support. There's about 61,000 of you out there now listening to these shows a month, and I need about 5% of you to order a book or a DVD or a set of the archives or make a donation, and that way we will definitely make it through and not just be barely struggling and holding our head above water as we're doing right now. Lately, I feel like a dog begging for food, but we feel that by turning to you, the audience, it's the best way to decide the fate of the program. And I really don't want to ask for corporate America for a commercial sponsorship to keep things going, and would rather keep the show commercial free. So your support shows if we should continue with doing this at GnosticMedia.com. And if you'd like to support it, once again, go to www.GnosticMedia.com and order a copy of one of the books or the DVD or the archives or make a donation. And please don't wait for somebody else to do it. If you wait too long, we may be gone. Let's see, upcoming shows. Next week, I've got to change gears and cool things down a bit for at least a week. The show has been a little bit on the intense side lately, so what I thought I'd do is pick a topic that is very important to human evolution, but on a much more peaceful level. So I thought we'd talk about art, and we'll be speaking with Eric Roper regarding his new book, Mushroom Magic. So you'll definitely want to check that out. And lastly, and most importantly, especially for controversial subjects like tonight, here is my disclosure. The views expressed by the authors and guests of this program are their own and are not necessarily those held by the host, which is myself, or Gnostic Media. Please contact the guests of this show if you have any contentions regarding their work or any questions, but most importantly, attack and dissect the message. Don't dissect the messengers. Once again, the website, www.gnosticmedia.com. That's GNOSTICmedia.com. And you can reach me at contact@gnosticmedia.com. Here's the rest of my interview with Eustace Mullins. Thanks for listening.
Obviously, they put you in the home, but from 1952, I think, was when you first published your book on the Federal Reserve until today. How did you not end up in jail yourself all this time?
Oh, I've been threatened by the IRS constantly because the Federal Reserve Bank closed down the Treasury of the United States, and I tell people to ask their Congress, who stole the Treasury of the United States? Because it's under the name of the Federal Reserve Bank. Reserve Bank now.
The people might be interested in that, Eustace. Is there a Treasury of the United States?
Yes, there's a Treasury. It's an empty building on 14th Street in Washington, D.C.
An empty building?
Yes.
And so it's there just in name only.
So that's where the American people's money and monetary control should be headquartered, and now it's just an empty front that the bankers parade around at our expense. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes.
And when was it closed?
And the people of this country have no idea that the Treasury has been closed in 1913 by the Federal Reserve Act of 1913.
So the actual act is what perpetrated the closing of the Federal Reserve, of the Treasury.
And every American gets a bill from the Federal Reserve Bank for their income tax. And they don't realize that it says mailed by the Department of the Treasury, and that is fraud because there is no IRS in the Department of the Treasury.
There is no Treasury, and the IRS is just a collection agency for the Federal Reserve.
It's a private collection agency for a private bank, and there's absolutely no authority.
And every penny of every tax and every registration, every car title, everything goes into the pockets of the Federal Reserve.
And they passed a law that all tax collection must be deposited in the Federal Reserve Bank within 24 hours.
So what pays for all of our taxes and everything go to the debt to the Federal Reserve.
Oh, yes.
Right.
None goes to any of the rest of it, so it all goes into the pockets. All of our taxes and everything go into the pockets of those who own the Federal Reserve.
The stockholders.
And the price of government, which is their government, the price of government is borrowed every year. That's what the president signs the budget every year.
And the American people had no idea of this. It has never been mentioned.
If the president borrows $1 trillion for the debt, $1 trillion is printed, and none of the taxes go to the budget.
And the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 states in plain language the Department of the Treasury is no longer the fiscal agent, the sole fiscal agent of the American people.
All right, so when is this whole system supposed to collapse? When, in your opinion, do they have it scheduled to collapse?
They can collapse at any time. But the printing presses and the Holocaust Museum, coincidentally, the Federal Reserve notes are printed in the Holocaust Museum on 14th Street in Washington, D.C. So the tourists come there and watch there's supposed money being printed in the Bureau of Printing and Engraving at $2 a bill, and they're under contract with the Federal Reserve Bank to print the money.
For $2 a bill? So for every one,
I think it's up to $3 or $4 a bill at this present time.
So for every dollar they print, they put on a $2 or $3 usury on top of it.
Oh yes, and the United States government pays the Federal Reserve Bank $100 for $100 bill. There's no discount.
The real usury is not interest. The real usury is inflation, so that they've inflated our money from the beginning.
Well,
today,
of course.
99% inflation.
Because there's never enough money in society to pay the debt, and there's no money in society without the debt.
They only print the money to use. They never print the money to pay the debt off. So all of the debt is never paid off. All of our taxes and everything only go to pay
the interest.
The interest. Well, now we can't even pay the interest. So they have they have to collapse it and start all over again.
You know, after I read Zarlinga's book, I realized what Kucinich was involved in, and I could also see what Ron Paul was involved in. But you know, when you break all of this stuff down and explain it this way, and Ustis being an expert on this material, it's painting a picture that I knew was there and was beginning to come into focus. And I've been studying about the New World Order for the last 20 years. And, you know, my family and friends always called me the wacky conspiracy theorist.
Of course.
And
they created that term theory, or they added that word theory. Eustace is the one that opened the doors, the floodgates, to understand the conspiracy itself.
Right. I see that.
They had to counteract his conspiracy, blowing the whistle on the conspiracy with that term, that word that they added to conspiracy, to poo-poo his whole works.
So Ustis is sort of the peak of the conspiracy mountain unraveling or unfolding, so to speak.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
Right.
Yes, it is.
So have you read The Curse of Canaan?
I have not.
That's the book that, see, all of his books are pieces of the puzzle, and The Curse of Canaan is the picture on the box that helps us put all the other pieces together, and it shows the world order, the whole Masonic world order, not just Masonic, because it's religious as well. There's two legs to this deal, and one is church and one is state.
Right.
And it goes all the way. Constantine is the one that separated church and state, which is still separated this day, but they still point everything to the government. Government is not state, and government is not church. They're both legs of the government. And
right, yeah.
So,
didn't Emperor Constantine, well, he's really in the one in the Council of Nicaea that... we show in my first book that I wrote with Andrew Utaji, we show that he created Christianity at the Council of Nicaea based on basically ancient pagan sun worship, fertility, drug use, and usury a religion. And that's, you know, basically three or four themes there. And
actually what he did, he had a very loosely federated, and that term federated is throughout history. Federated and central and united are synonymous terms. And he had a very loosely federated or very loosely centralized or very loosely united kingdom. And the way that he united it was to marry the paganism of his father, which was, his father was a Greek king, and his mother was a British aristocracy, and so he was a product of a Greek marriage. He actually married the Greek paganism of his father to the Christian religion of his mother, and came up with religion Christian beliefs of his mother, and that's what created religion. He created religion himself, and the Christian religion, so that, and Karl Marx said it best, I think in his in 1856 or somewhere about that, when he wrote that religion is the opiate of the people.
Right.
That's to keep the people dumbed down and pointed to the government. So,
right.
All of this is ancient.
Right.
And the important thing that people do not know is that in 1914, the original Federal Reserve stock was purchased in toto by Rockefeller and his fellow conspirators, so that that's why they murdered the Romanov family, the richest man in the world. He had $200 million in the National City Bank of New York, a Rockefeller bank, and the conspirators bought all the stock of the Federal Reserve System with Romanov's money, so they're the actual owners of the Federal Reserve System.
So,
and this was it. This was in gold that he had $200 million.
Yes.
And I've heard that his descendants have been trying to get the money, and they get their money back, and they've been blocked every step of the way.
Well, that's why they didn't murder them, because if they were dead, they couldn't bring a lawsuit. And no lawsuit has ever been brought.
And they thought they had them all killed. But two of them escaped, survived.
Yeah, I knew two of them really well.
He knew two of the children real well.
Yeah.
Alexei and Anastasia.
And, of course, how do they, you know, what do they do? They twist the whole thing into a Walt Disney cartoon, Anastasia. And,
yes.
You know, to show these people that they ruined and destroyed, and this whole thing that they funded from beginning to end, and then they make a cute little mouse and child Disney story out of it, and turn
That's
it
their in smoke and mirrors.
Turn it into
Anastasia was married to a CIA agent, Monahan, and so they live happily ever after.
You know, I got to tell you,
everything is smoke and mirrors.
Oh yeah, you know, and this is something that I've realized is that you know, from the time I was about 23, is that everything I knew was a lie. Everything I had been told was a lie. And
absolutely,
that's the starting point. You have to start from there and go on.
Yeah, well, you know, basically what had happened is when I was 23, I had, to put it in simple terms, I had what was nothing short of a full-blown out-of-body experience. And in a couple of hours, I learned more about this stuff, and later on went to check it out. And the more I looked, the more I realized that what I saw in the visions from this out-of-body experience were correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it might seem a little bit loony at first, but when you listen to the rest of my show and listen to guys I've had on the show, like Dr. Stanislav Grof, who's the world's leading expert in LSD and psychedelic drugs, it makes a lot more sense.
When you called me yesterday, I was actually watching the Gnostic doc,
the Gnostic media?
Yeah, the Gnostic media. I was watching that when you called me yesterday.
The Pharmacratic Inquisition video?
Yes, yeah, I was watching that one.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's my work. That's you know, that's about 20% of what's in my first book, Astrotheology and Shamanism.
Have you heard of Pete Peters, who has a Christian radio program?
No, I have not.
He sponsored a DVD. He did a DVD about, the name of it is DC Street Sorceries. And it's, I mean, there are other works out there also, but this DC Street Sorceries is the best one I've seen on showing how Washington, D.C., by the Freemason George Washington and many of the other Masons at the time, he was responsible for laying out everything in D.C., and it's everything is the sex symbols and the Washington Monument. And the Washington Monument, most people don't realize, is 555 feet high with a base of 111 feet, which is where you come up with the 666.
Ah.
And also the six-pointed star with the six bars across it and the six spaces in it is also 666. And both of these are the symbol of Nimrod's government.
And it's also a symbol of fertility worship. The upward triangle is male,
absolutely,
and the downward is female.
Right. The obelisk, the phallic symbol,
correct,
is pointed at the Oval Office.
Correct.
We've
talked about
the whole layout is that, but that all dates back to Nimrod, who started all of this, and it was his phallic symbol that everybody worshipped. And it was he that created government to start with. And so we're under his government at this present time. What the Bible called Mystery Babylon the Great, that's us. That's what we're under. So
I wanted to ask you if you would go more into the War of 1812.
Oh, wow. The War of 1812 was declared by England against the United States because Madison had failed to renew the Bank of the United States Charter, which was up in
1811.
And that was the only reason for Britain's War of 1812. And that's the way things are done in Washington.
What most people don't realize also is that July 4th, 1776, was not our birthday. It wasn't even the birthday of the government. September 5th, 1774, was actually our birth date, and that's when Peyton Randolph became the first president of Congress. George Washington was the 8th president of Congress.
And Peyton Randolph was the leading Freemason in the state of Virginia.
Now, the July 4th thing was a Masonic date. Is that correct?
Yes.
and I found it very interesting. I used to live in Serbia, in Yugoslavia, before the financiers destroyed it. Yugoslavia's Independence Day was also July 4th.
Oh.
I didn't know that, but that's interesting.
And that's where the World Wars started it. When Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated.
Right, for attempting to enslave the Serbs. So I forget his name, but one of the Serbian guys assassinated him because of all of this crud, I suppose.
Oh, yes, that was Gavrilo Princip who assassinated him. And he's a hero in Serbia today.
Yeah, well, and rightly so, you know, and they always like to twist the story to blame the Serbs for the start of World War One, but if they weren't being enslaved by these sons of bitches, then there never would have been the issue, you know. So it's again, they're just flipping the facts, the opposite of the truth. And one thing that I learned when I was living in Yugoslavia was that. You know, and I've written an article on one of my websites about all of this, is that no matter what they said in the U.S. media, and I was getting CNN and Sky News and BBC and things like that when I was in Serbia on satellite, but I very soon figured out that if I wanted to figure out what was going on, first all I had to do was exactly flip the story of what I was being told and then begin to analyze the news from there.
That's how I began to learn things as well, Jan. Just look on the opposite side of the coin from what they're saying. Once you realize that everything they say is propaganda and their story, you look on the other side of it and you can see that you can find the truth. You still have to dig it out, but you can find the truth.
You know, and what they leave... they leave about 5% leeway for manipulation, and you know what they'll do is they'll include 5% truth and 95% BS, and then when
focus on that 5% truth.
Right. Well, they leave enough just to tell you a little bit, but then they spin the rest of the story behind it.
Right. And when you Eustace wrote an article, the name of it was The Reign of Terror, and subtitled The French Revolution of 1789, The Bolshevik Revolution of 1919, or 1917, Spanish Civil War of 1936, and soon set for the United States. Now, he could have included The Dark Side of the Moon. Have you read that, The Dark Side of the Moon, The Demise of Poland?
No, I have not.
And what Stalin did to Poland between 1939 and 41.
Please enlighten me.
And what he did to the Ukraine. I mean, he was responsible for murdering, and that was the reason for his concentration camps up in Siberia, was to take all these. He destroyed the whole white Russian farmers by the red communist Bolsheviks, and he did the same thing to white Poland and got rid of all of them. He did the same thing to white Germany, which is why he required FDR and Churchill, FDR in particular, because our army, Patton, who was a true, General Patton, who was a true patriot, even though he was responsible for murdering many German men, he did it in ignorance. And then after he did, he realized that he had been fighting the wrong army, which is what he stated in some of his letters to his wife. And he wanted to go up and destroy Russia. He said, if we don't do it now, while they're weakened, and here Eisenhower, who is a player of the Rothschilds, ties his hands and doesn't even let him go into Italy and Germany and do what he needed to do best, and that was to, they didn't want the war to end. They wanted the war to be prolonged until Russia, under Stalin, could get down there and take their rightful place as the conquerors and divide the spoil between FDR and Stalin.
The Hitler-Stalin Pact was a conspiracy against the Catholic Church because the victims were all Catholics.
Yes, and the Poland were all Catholics, and the Dark Side of the Moon describes that whole thing explicitly.
So is that what Pink Floyd was singing about in the? Is that what they were talking about with the Dark Side of the Moon album that they did?
I do believe so.
Yes, that was the foreword to the book was written by T.S. Eliot, a disciple of Ezra Pound.
But many of the songwriters and including John Lennon, that's the reason they had to murder him. Many of the songwriters and are poets in their own right. They're poets, and all the poets. Ezra Pound was a poet, but he was a historical storyteller, and that's what poetry is. That's what Shakespeare was all about, was telling the true story and dramatizing it, telling the story in allegory. So you can find the stories in truth, but written in allegory through songs and poetry.
So, you know, what else is there? You guys have completely blown my mind today. And, you know, I've listened to many of...
Not much, too great a shock.
Oh, no. You know, and I've listened to a lot of your interviews, and I've seen a lot of your videos and things online. But you're covering a lot of... Actually covering some material here that I hadn't heard you talk about before. So I'm just wondering what else you've
That's
got.
That's why I wanted to be part of the interview, Jan. I didn't mean throw in a monkey wrench in anything.
Oh, no, that's fine.
I've lived with Eustace for this past year, and he's told me all these things as reason that I bring them out to him. So, because I know the things that America has not heard, things that
right.
he knows that no one else knows.
All right, Jesse, so this is going to be directed at you. You know, what is the most mind-blowing thing you've ever heard from Eustace? I want you to cull that out of him for me.
Well, I don't know if there's one single thing. It's just the whole story that everything, nothing is as it seems. Everything is propaganda and smoke and mirrors. That's the name of their game. They stir up, it's thesis and antithesis, coming up with synthesis. And so there's many other pieces of this puzzle that are surprising. It's just like Joe Kennedy finally got a son to fulfill a whole four-year administration. Who was that? Who was Joe Kennedy's son that fulfilled a presidential...
Wait, you're talking about John F. Kennedy?
No, I'm talking about Jimmy Carter.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Lily and Nathan.
So Jimmy Carter is related to the Kennedys?
He's his son, his Joe's son.
I guess I had no idea about that.
Well, nobody does, or very few people do. But
well, who elected this goofball as president? He's immediately named.
Oh, you're talking about
Bilderberger Society.
Oh yeah, you're talking about Bush and H.W. Bush, and then Prescott Bush, and the whole Skull and Bones clan.
And
there.
Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton. We think that we've got two parties, Democrat and Republican. We've got one party with two branches.
Right, exactly.
As a matter of fact, we have one party, which is the Communist Party, and all the other branches are under that, including the Fascist Party and the Nazi Party. They're all part of the thesis and antithesis.
Where does the Libertarian Party fit in?
Well, same place. The Libertarian Party is there to get the patriots under their party. It's a party of patriots, and I'm not saying that those under the Libertarian Party are evil people. It's their leaders that are there. And I'm not saying that anybody in the Christian churches are evil. They're not. They're all good people. I'm not saying that the people that are the Masons are evil people. They're not. It's the leaders on top. The Masons don't know any more about their leaders than the Christians know about their leaders.
Right.
And we've got all these pulpit people that are turning all of their congregations, making them look to that little postage stamp place in the Middle East that's ruling the world. And you can also look at every one of our presidents has had their handlers. Every president has been a puppet except for... Well, there have been a few that aren't. Andrew Jackson, Harrison. Harrison only served 1 month before they assassinated him.
I think William Jennings Bryan was another one, wasn't he?
Right. William Jennings Bryan. And so there have Howard Taft, William McKinley. Each one of the...
What about Taylor?
Yeah, Taylor was a true patriot. There have been many good patriots there, but when they get in, if they are able to accomplish or begin to accomplish something, they just take them out in one way or the other.
Right, and since the intelligence community...
We've been surprised by the passion and the interest of young people in America today in response to my lectures.
Eustace and I are going around the country and just speaking to small groups of people. We got here in this city in Ohio, and we can't leave here because the doors keep open for, we had a meeting the last three nights, different groups, and then we have another one tonight and another one Saturday. There's so much interest and there's so much young people interest. Eustace is really amazed at all the interest of the young people,
right?
20 and 30 year olds. Well, Jan, there's so many rabbit holes that we can go down, just like our food and where we are today. All of our food has been hybridized by the Monsanto,
right?
Group. they own all the, they finally, see, they've been trying to get patents on seeds from way back when. And Congress, even though Congress is not our Congress, it hasn't been since Abraham Lincoln dismissed it in 1860. It's a different Congress, and it's not our Congress. But still, there are some legitimate men there in their Congress that hold things up. And Monsanto's tried to get seeds patented, and Congress refused to let them. You can't patent life. Well, then they orchestrated the Valdez bill because they had supposedly invented this microorganism that would eat oil. So they had to have a great spill because they have an agenda. And what their agenda is, they supposedly created this microorganism that can eat oil. Now they've created life.
Right. Well, what's funny is I've spoken to, and I plan to have him on my show sometime soon, is a man who actually did invent something that, or discover something that eats oil. He's a mycologist or a mushroom expert up in Oregon by the name of Paul Stamets. Uh-huh. And he's actually patented and proved that he discovered a fungus that literally eats up an oil spill and turns the oil spill back into a life-producing mound within a matter of weeks or months.
But he wasn't able to do that until after Monsanto got first. They opened the doors, and they opened the doors for themselves, not for your friend.
Yeah.
He just got in on the wake.
Well, he got lucky, basically. I think
he followed in on the open door, and so now they're getting patents on all of their hybrid seeds, and they're taking all the heirloom seeds off the market so that you can only buy their patented seeds. And one of the reasons, there's many reasons that they had to take JFK out of the picture. And they use all these different things to get us to argue about the different reasons, but all of them are valid reasons. One of the reasons that few people recognize is that in 1961 and under his administration, we had enough grain in the storehouse in Nebraska, Kansas, Colorado. You can still drive out there today and you don't go a couple of miles before you see mega storage bins, silos, for grain. They're all empty today, but in John Kennedy's day, they were all full, and so much so, and the crops were so great that we had stuff stored outside on the concrete pads. And I remember that. I lived in Colorado at the time, and it's an incredible how wealthy we were in stockpiles of grain. Well, one of the first things that LBJ did was he destroyed, or he got rid of all of our grain. He gave it away or sold it cheap to all the nations. And then we had all the feed the children, the religious feed the children groups that were advertising for everybody, bleeding heart liberals, to send in your money so we can buy this grain and ship it over to the poor indigent people, which it's not even a drop in the bucket. But what they did, they got rid of all of our grain. In 1961, there was enough food stored to feed every man, woman, and child in America for 3 solid years, 3 meals a day, non-rationed. Well, now there's none. And they're always experimenting with their hybrid stuff, and what they did last year was they sent all this new hybrid grain, corn, to India. Well, India had a total failed crop this year because it didn't germinate. So they say, oh, we're sorry. Well, next year we'll give you, these seeds are guaranteed, so we'll give you more seeds next year. Well, that was just an experiment, and it worked real well. If you drive through the countryside nowadays, you see two crops all over America, from Maryland to California, from coast to coast. And there's two crops, and they're hybrid crops, and they're there for a reason and a purpose. They're corn and soybean, both hybrid crops. Now, the corn issue, China's the one that started the soybean craze, and then through Monsanto did through China, and then Monsanto did through the corn. In the 60s, again, when I was a teenager growing up, there were sugar beet factories all over Colorado, and sugar was king. That was the that was Holly Sugar,
right?
And then you had the. I also lived in Sugarland, or down by Sugarland, Texas, where sugarcane was king. And these two outfits, sugarcane sugar and sugar beet sugar, provided all the sugar for America and a lot of the world. And they began to close all the sugar beet factories up in Colorado. And it really affected the economy of Colorado. But the point was, they were fixing to, they had come up with this hybrid corn that produced a great deal of high fructose corn syrup. And they needed to get it on the market. So they drove up the price of sugar sky high, so that by 1974 and 75, there was sugar was so great, and there was such a shortage, and it was so great that back up to 72, they had finally come up with this high. They'd been working on it all the time, and they knew they were going to.
So then they basically wiped out all the sugar, replaced it with this corn syrup that's horrible for your health, by the way.
Right, which is people recognize it, but they didn't, or they knew it, but they didn't recognize what the problem was.
Right.
How many people, all of America was complaining in the 80s that they have changed the taste of Coca-Cola.
Right, exactly.
Well, the reason for the change in taste was that they did away with
the sugar.
They replaced it with high fructose corn syrup.
Well, you know, in foreign countries, Coca-Cola, you know, in much of Central Europe, and when I've been in South America, Coca-Cola
and
in a
Mexico.
Lot of, and they still use sugar, and it's
yes.
And it tastes much better.
So you can go to Mexico, or you can get the Mexican Coca-Cola product, and it's exactly like it was in here in the 50s.
Right, and it tastes significantly better.
And the high fructose corn syrup is single-handedly responsible for our sugar diabetes pandemic,
and the extreme obesity in America. I mean,
and the extreme obesity.
You know,
our young girls.
Right, and you know, I've been overseas a number of times, and it's just every time I return to the United States, it's just mind-boggling how overweight Americans are.
If you yesterday or day before, maybe it was Sunday, they had a deal on the History Channel, which I only watch that because I know the true history, and I pick out the bits and pieces of truth that they present there.
Right.
It's just as propagandized as everything else. All history.
For sure. For sure.
So,
you know, the History Channel is some of the worst, but occasionally, and I've seen a couple of shows that they've done that they've actually provided the truth on. Yeah, you know, it's like Showtime in this film, American Drug War, the Last Great White Hope. That's actually a friend of mine did that video, Kevin Booth. And, you know, so occasionally they'll let real things on and get out.
And that's just part of their smoke and mirrors. If they kept it totally quiet, but everybody's so ingrained in the conspiracy theory that even these things don't make us stir up enough to do any good. And they've got all their ducks in a row, so there's nothing we can do about it. But back to the high fructose corn story. In this History Channel deal, they showed why, the name of it was the Black Storm, which showed the Dust Bowl of the early 30s that was created by them. They created the Dust Bowl because of improper farming practices. And what they did, they coerced the farmers into plowing up their grassland of the Midwest and planting it. When they did, they destroyed the cover crop. It created its own drought and then created its own weather pattern and the severe windstorms that blew up all the dust over to Manhattan and destroyed. That's why we had all the soup lines. That's why we had starvation in America during the early 30s. And that was all that was part of the thesis and antithesis, that FDR can come up with a solution. The New Deal was his solution to solve all the problems.
And of course, they had to borrow from the same bankers to do the New Deal.
Absolutely.
instead of doing what Lincoln did and create the money from the government to avoid the debt.
Yes. So he created the bankruptcy in 33, went off the gold standard in January of 34. But what's happening today is this corn and soybeans are planted everywhere.
Right.
The deal in India with the experiment of the non-germinating seed, all the farmers all the way across America have been talked into raising this
GMO corn,
high yield of corn and soybeans. So then all they have to do, when everything is done right, they've destroyed our food reserves. What they're going to do is sell the same seeds to the American farmers. We have a whole failed crop of soybean and corn, and we have a dust bowl that's 10 times worse than the 33. We have no food grains, so they're bringing starvation down on America just like they did France and Russia and Poland and
Let me ask you guys this. Why stay in the U.S.? Why not move to another country?
Done the other countries. And the U.S. is the only one that they can't control. And remember what the world order is all about.
Okay. They can't. I thought they were the ones behind controlling it through the Federal
they
Reserve.
They are controlling us, and they have been doing this. But see, that they can't just do it overnight. So it's taken 200 and some odd years to get to this point.
Okay.
Their whole idea is to bring about the world order. I knew all this for a long time, but I didn't understand the true emphasis of it until I read a book by T.W. Hughes written in 1944, and I just read it like 5 years ago. The name of it is The 40 Years of Roosevelt. It was the Roosevelts, and especially FDR, that they were planning to bring about the world order. Teddy Roosevelt was to set it up. Woodrow Wilson was to get it done with his League of Nations. Franklin Roosevelt was responsible for destroying Germany, the only nation that would be a threat. And then they destroyed Poland and all the other farmer nations of the world, made third world nations out of them. And then Roosevelt was to create the war that would bring it all about. He did bring about the United Nations after his demise. And they murdered him also. They killed him.
Why did they kill him?
Because they needed another. They knew that he wasn't going to be able to get it done, and they needed another martyr, just like some of the others. Abraham Lincoln was a martyr. He was a real villain. But they martyred him. He was their puppet, but they killed him to make a martyr out of him. They did the same thing with FDR. And it was FDR that they had planned to get all this stuff done. But no matter how hard they've tried, they thought that the Bushes would be able to bring it about. Bill Clinton, we also know his daddy. His daddy is Winthrop Rockefeller. they're all related, and even the the current president is a Rockefeller, and so was Abraham Lincoln, and so was Alexander Hamilton. Every one of the presidents has had their handler. Alexander Hamilton was the Rothschild agent that was George Washington's handler, and we know many of them through history. Colonel Edward Mendel House was the handler up till Alger Hiss. He was Wilson's handler, and then he was in the White House until Alger Hiss took over the job. The current one is Kissinger, and actually Kissinger is ruling the world today. Kissinger is the most powerful man in the world.
Isn't he? He's not even allowed to leave the U.S., though, I thought. Isn't he wanted by Interpol for war crimes?
Yeah, but he's still pulling the shots. He's still pulling the shots of everything, and he has since he was made Nixon's handler. And see, the main thing that they did with Nixon was fighting against them. He was their puppet, but he was fighting against them too, and fighting against the news media, and doing all these things behind their back, supposedly. Except you can't do it behind their back. They knew everything that was going on. But the main thing that they used Nixon for was to get the trade agreements with China. They had to do that. See, they're planning to use China to bring this nation down. Once they have starved and murdered by disease 1/3 of our population, then they'll bring China in. They're planning to murder 1/3 of our population in the next few years. And that'll be by drought, famine, and diseases. And we already have the diseases in us, but while we're fat and plump by their hybridized food product, poison products,
corn syrup. And,
yes, the corn syrup and the soy. Everything has soy in it and high fructose corn syrup. Everything. And so we have all the diseases in us. Here's an example to understand this. A man smokes for 50 years, and then he quits smoking and he dies from cancer. Why is that? Because the 50 years that he's been smoking, the smoking is what causes little bitty cancers to rise up throughout his lungs. But at the same time, the nicotine keeps those cancers suppressed. As soon as he quits smoking, the very thing that caused the cancers in the first place has been removed, and the cancers grow wild.
Because there's nothing there to suppress.
Right, there's nothing there. Well, the very thing that's made us sugar diabetic and obese, and it's created cancers in our bodies, we have them there. The cancers are already there. That's why so many women, that's why cancer is rampant.
Right.
And there is a cure for cancer. You know, there's simple cures for
cancer.
Oh,
I know. Are you familiar with Rick Simpson from Canada? Are you familiar with his treatment?
No.
He's actually, and this has been proved at University of Denver, Colorado, by Robert Malamud and a few other universities around the world. But
baking soda?
No, I hadn't heard of that one. But what they're doing is they're taking pure extract from cannabis or from marijuana flowers, and and they apply it directly to the cancer, either topically for skin cancer or internally, and it just wipes out the cancer. And not only that, but it protects all of the healthy cells at the same time and promotes regeneration of new cells.
Yes, and do you know why?
Why?
Because every cancer virus is acidic, and all they're doing is raising the pH level to the point, and the marijuana does a better job because it protects the cells at the same time. But anything that you do, whether you can use baking soda is one of the quickest agents to use because it brings your pH level up. We're too acidic. That's what high fructose corn syrup does. That's what sugar does. But the high fructose corn syrup is 10 times better at creating cancer because it brings our acidic level up. The white potatoes do the same thing. So they really promote the white potatoes and the French fries.
Well, you know, I was just in Peru, and down there they have, not to mention corn, they've got hundreds of varieties of corn that are everywhere, but they've also got 4,000 different types of potatoes down there.
But those are good potatoes.
Right, exactly.
And it's good corn. And ironically, Jan, I just met a young man this week that had been down in Peru. He just got back from Peru. And he had tried to bring back some potatoes and some corn to here, and they confiscated it, and he barely got out with the skin of his teeth. And he's very fired up about Peru and the potatoes. He wanted to bring back some potatoes, and they confiscated those. They allowed him to bring back some cocoa leaves.
Yeah,
cocoa leaves.
Yeah, and that's And that's the thing, is they make the big cocaine lie in this country. And, we're going to go down there and eradicate coca. But, that would be like trying to eradicate McDonald's in the U.S. And I've done a show about this when I returned, because I actually ended up in the hospital down there to treat a stomach problem that my doctors here didn't treat properly for 13 years.
Is that why you went down there?
One of the reasons. We had gone down to visit my wife's from Peru, and we had gone down there to visit her family. And then we decided that when we were down there, because my health was so bad, that we would see a doctor there. And so I go to a doctor there, and I ended up getting sick with the flu the same day as the doctor was doing the scopes, and I couldn't fight the flu. So I ended up in the hospital there for 5 days. And they cured me of a stomach problem that I had had for 13 years. They totally cured me of it with a week in the hospital there, plus 2 weeks of outpatient treatment. And it cost about 1/30th of the cost of the same treatment in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you got cured.
And I got cured. So,
which is the...
Is Eustace still with us there?
Yes, he's still there.
I want to tell you, you got to get a young person on your program, because I told some young people yesterday that in 1900, Ezra Pound was the hero of every young person in the world. And they couldn't believe it, but it's true.
Well, Jan is a young person.
Yeah, well, I'm getting up there.
He's in his 30s.
Yeah, I'm getting up there, but I'm starting the young activist that I use.
I'm working harder than ever.
Yeah. You know, you guys are doing some phenomenal work, and actually somebody from Australia, somebody by the name of Santos from Australia, turned me on to your work about 6 or 8 months ago for the first time, and I was just completely blown away by it at the time. You know, so I applaud you guys, and you know, it's good to finally find after looking into all of these things. And basically, what had happened is, after doing years of protests and fighting about this and that, I realized that I wasn't attacking the roots of the problem; that I was attacking the branches and the leaves.
Yeah,
and I had to reorganize.
They just grow back.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I had to reorganize. Excuse me. And rethink my strategy, and then I realized that that it was religion was one of the primary things. So that's why I've written 2 books on that. And my last book, I actually proved that Judeo-Christianity was based on psychedelic mushroom use originally. And I've actually found and printed ancient primary texts that back that up, along with dozens of ancient paintings and frescoes and things like that. But the New World Order was always an interest of mine, and I always knew there was something about the IMF and the World Bank and the Bilderbergers and things like this. And you hear about the Rothschilds, but I really couldn't get at it. And it was your work, along with Zarlenga's work, that really started putting the final pieces together, at least what I assume right now, and maybe next year I'll see a whole new wave of pieces come flying in at me. But from the pieces that I've been studying for the last 20 years, you, Ustis, and Stephen Zarlengo were the two that actually made it so that the pieces started falling together, the ones that I've had anyway, and giving me a clear picture. And when that happened, it was just... It was quite a shock that I had overlooked your work for so long, and yet here you've been doing this for almost 60 years now.
60 years this year.
60 well, years this year.
Dale has worked very hard to keep anybody from reading my books.
They well, even were responsible for burning the only book in Germany.
Yeah, the old German edition was burned.
10,000 copies.
Wow. So, yeah, I'm going to have to get a hold of a copy of all of your books, Ustis. I'm definitely going to...
Oh, they're printed in Japanese now, and all of my titles are being reprinted.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. So I'm going to have to get my hands on a set of all of them. And I actually think I've seen them... on eBay. Oh, you know what I saw yesterday was a first edition of one of your books selling on Amazon for $8,000.
Oh my God!
it's a first edition of the original copy of your Federal Reserve book. It's autographed by you, and they're selling it on Amazon right now for $8,000 some.
Well, the first edition of that book sold out in one afternoon.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that makes you the author of the most expensive book ever written by a living author, and you've dethroned the former person who is a J.P. Morgan shill, R. Gordon Wasson, who is the father of ethnomycology, and his famous book or book set, Mushrooms, Russia, and History, was the former holder of that title, and it looks like you've dethroned it by several thousand dollars.
Oh, yes. I remember that book very well. And that was when J.P. Morgan, they were all pushing the getting high on mushrooms.
Yeah, what had happened was R. Gordon Wasson was J.P. Morgan's vice president, and they were all into studying these things, and then R. Gordon Wasson went down into Mexico in the Oaxaca region and did a ceremony with Maria Sabina, and he's the so-called discoverer of the mushrooms, at least to white Western society anyway. And then he went to his buddies at Time Life, who is Henry Luce, a Skull and Bones member and Council on Foreign Relations member, and C.D. Jackson, who is the head of U.S. psychological warfare and was involved at Buchenwald and things like that, and they created this whole wave of interest in psychedelic mushrooms via this instance. And in a way, I think it sort of backfired on Wasson, but I've always wondered, because there's an underlying theme there, that these substances can be used to wake an individual up from the control of the New World Order and the religion. And at times they can also have the opposite effect, not as often, but they can also be used to control the masses as the CIA attempted to use LSD for in the 60s. And I think, for the large part, it backfired on them. But at the same time, it turns people in some ways pacifist and less active. But at the same time, I've seen many people who've done LSD and come to the next day and said, I've seen the light. I understand how they do everything. I want to go be an activist now. So I think the psychedelics were one of the issues that they probably later on decided that they shouldn't have let loose. And that's why they've spent the last 40 years trying to outlaw them and prevent any studies on them and things like that.
When any of the hallucinogenics are in their natural state is one thing, but whenever you produce them chemically, it changes the it doesn't necessarily change the power and everything.
The life, the life force or something in there, you know.
Yes, there's something that, and I don't understand it, I don't even claim to understand it, but I know anytime you change things with chemical, even the growing of crops with chemical fertilizer, it changes the nature of the plant. And so it would be the same thing, which is why it becomes such a poisonous thing and has murdered many thousands of people, millions of people, which is part of their whole plan. I mean, they've created all the viruses. They create all the poisons. They created the AIDS virus to decimate the whole black African population. They created the Spanish flu, which Eustace told you about. They've created the swine flu and the craze of it to... And the smoke and mirrors that they don't have enough serum. Of course, they got enough serum to do every person in the world, but they make it look like they've got a shortage and scare all these parents into getting their children inoculated first, children and pregnant women, and then they'll do the military, and then they're doing the forced inoculation of all of us employees. We're all employees of the Washington, D.C., which is when we signed our... Look on your driver's license, and you'll see a name there that's spelled in all capital letters. Well, that's not you.
Right.
That's a corporation that was created for you, and when you signed, that's the employee of Washington, D.C., a creation of theirs. Even when you were born, what does BIRTH mean?
Well, it's
they changed the lettering of it.
Docking in a harbor, I believe, or
right. It's a berth on a ship.
Right.
And the dock, the doctor is nothing but a dock master.
Well, you know,
the rabbit holes just go on. There's numerous.
Yeah.
And they just go on and on.
Well, let's. I'd like to keep an invitation open to the both of you to come back on my show again. You know, sometime maybe in the near future, but we've got 2.5 hours of material here.
Well,
so
hope you can edit out enough to do a radio station.
Is there anything that you two would like to add to the discussion before we end it here? What in your opinion is the most important thing that people should take away from this interview, the single most important idea that people need to know and grasp?
Move out of the cities and into the countryside and
flee to the mountains.
Flee to the mountains.
Flee to the mountains. Great. Well, you know, I used to live in the mountains and it was a death trap up there because there was basically one road in and one road out. And it was in Crestline, Southern California, where they had the old fire about back in 2003. And
yes,
and it blacked out the Southern California sky for several days. And
yes,
you know, it took me half a day just to get off the mountain when they evacuated everybody, and then we were evacuated for 8 or 9 days. And
well, that also includes flee California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, and Florida. The mountains, meaning the Blue Ridge and the Appalachian, and get out of the cities because the cities are coming down.
Yeah. Great. Well,
we're going to be invaded in a very few short years. It'll be a planned thing.
Who are they going to design to invade us? Will it be Russia, China, Mexico?
China. China and Mexico, or China through Mexico.
Yeah,
we've
I've heard that
Mexico.
I've heard that Mexico is going to be a big player in the new.
Well, Mexico has already invaded us. They're already here.
Well,
they're talking about Texas seceding from the Union. Well, what they don't know is that when Texas secedes, it's a Mexican state already.
Yeah.
They already outnumbered the Mexicans are already the illegals and the legals. Now, there are many Mexicans, many Mexican friends of ours that are Mexican patriots of America. But the majority are illegal and they don't belong here, and they're here to take over America at the right opportunity, and the opportunity is very near.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I think because of NAFTA and GATT and a lot of these things, a lot of the Mexicans that get caught up into the whole thing are indigenous people that have lost their farms and everything. Yes. And just like Ross Perot talked about in his campaign back in 93 or 94.
Right. And you know, it's really not that they are the enemy.
Right. They're the victim. And not only that, but they're indigenous peoples. And for the last, you know, before white man was ever here, they were nomadic. And whenever their food supply or their crops go, they migrate. That's what they do.
But they have been told and taught and educated that Aztlan, which is those states that are southern states that I mentioned, belong to them, and that we stole them from them, and they want them back. So they've been, because Mexico's economy has been so decimated.
Plundered.
Yes. Then they come up. The only thing that they know to do is go up to a nation that has plenty. And so I'm not at all condemning those people for what they do. I'm condemning those that have caused them such agony that they have to come up here. And I mean, that was their purpose in doing it.
Right. Oh yeah, definitely.
And the reason for,
and to lower the wage standards and things here in the U.S. too.
Absolutely.
So, you know, with all of this, you know, we're going to have to wrap it up here, and I hate to cut you guys off, but we're pushing close to 3 hours here. So, is there any last ideas that you would like to add?
Go ahead, Eustace.
We're on the move.
What was that? I didn't hear you.
We're on the move every day.
You're on the move every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, and you know what do you think? Other than moving to the mountains or rural areas, what else can people do to protect themselves? You know, obviously,
I still have my home in Virginia. You know, I've lost everything, and it's empty. But Virginia is still there. It's still the same state.
All right. Well, thank you both, Eustace and Jesse, for coming on the show and taking up well over 2.5 hours of your time to get your word out. And you guys are doing amazing work. Eustace, you're an icon. And thank you so much for all the work you've done and bringing this information to the world. And we very much appreciate it.
Thank you too, Jan.